Holding on Lemon Bays on the Bays. Lemon Bays on the Bays. Five lines from the top. Five lines from the top. So we learned yesterday, there's a Mishnah, our Mishnah had said that Tabala Chose, Bala Chose Aviv, etc., even though there's a Chiyu Karet, nevertheless you're still paying the Knas that we discussed in the Mishnah. So before, the previous couple of Dafim, we'd been talking about how that fits into Kam Libid Rabimine. We said that according to Rav Chanina ben Akana, Taka, you would have, the Kam Libid Rabimine applies, and therefore he gets Karet and he doesn't pay. Well, according to the Chachamim, not. Now the Gemara in our Sugya is dealing with a related issue. The Mishnah in Makkos lists a bunch of cases where a person is chayav malchus. Among them are many of the cases in our Mishnah, ba'alachosev, alachosev, aviv, etc. And it says he's chayav malchus. How does a person doesn't get malchus and pay, so what is it? So we brought so far one answer of Ullah that we said that Ullah says that in fact, you're right, it has to be one or the other. If it's Mammon versus Malchus, you're only going to pay. You're not going to get Malchus. So our Mishnah would be talking about the regular case where you're paying money. What would the case in Malchus have to be talking about? Would have to be where there's no knas for one reason or another. She's a Begeres, or she's a Yisoyim or Mufuta, or a Shaita, whatever. We went through a couple of different possibilities. So and we ended up saying, where does Ullah know this, Taka? We said, the last thing we said was, where does Ullah Taka know that if you have Malchus at versus Misa, that you Davka do, not Misa, sorry, if you have Malchus versus Mammon, that you pay the money, you don't get Malchus, which therefore forced him to say that the Mishnah in Malchus has to be talking about a case where there's no money. Ultimately, we said he learned it from Gzeira Shava, Tachas Tachas. Tachas Asher Ina and Ayin Tachas Ayin. Ayin tachas ayin means money, so tachas asher ino also has to be money. That's where we're holding. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, so that was Ullah's answer. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu tema achoyse naira, you could even say that the Mishnah in Makkos is talking about she's a naira, so why over there you're getting malchus rather than paying? Kancha hisruboi, kancha lo hisruboi, because one case is talking about where they gave masra for malchus, the case in Makkos, our Mishnah is talking about there was no asra. No asra, therefore no malchus, therefore payment. Alma Kasava Rabbi Yechanan, which goes to show them that Rabbi Yechanan holds Kalechadik and Mammon and Malchus, the Asrubay, that Rabbi Yechanan holds the opposite of Ullah. That if you have Mammon versus Malchus and they gave him Asra, Milka Loki Mammon and Lebashalim. He will get Malchus and not pay the money. Not like Ullah, who said that even if they gave him Asra, he's always going to pay the money and therefore the case in Malchus has to be talking about where there's no knas to be paid. According to Rabbi Yechanan, no. If they gave him Hasra, in fact, he would get the Malchus and not pay. So our Mishnah is talking about there was no Hasra. The one in Malchus is talking about there is Hasra.
Look, Rabbi Yechanan, if you didn't give Hasra, you have to pay.
Right.
Yeah. Why would you give Hasra for a case other than Malchus? I mean,
we're talking about they gave Hasra for Malchus. They saw him getting ready to be Ma'anis' sister. They warn him. You should know according to everybody, we're saying there's a possibility that they're doing that. But according to Ullah, we're saying they give him that warning. Nevertheless, when they bring him to Beis Din will say, we're not going to give you Malchus, even though you got Hasra. Instead, you're going to pay your sister the Knas. Whereas according to Rabbi Yechanan, in that case, we would give him the Malchus.
Sounds more logical to say, if you give Hasra already, it's for Malchus, it's not for Mammon.
But we learned before, that's what we said, that Ullah had a Zera Shava, Tachas, Tachas, and the Gemara is going to point out soon, even Rabbi Yechanan agrees that Zera Shava exists. Tosis points out that Zera Shava is a known Zera Shava in a number of places in Gemara. Well, that's what we're going to discuss later, but it's a known Zera Shava, so Ullah uses it for this purpose as well, yeah. So Rabbi Yechanan is saying that no, in that case they would give him the Malchus. Question is, Manolo Rabbi Yechanan, huh? Okay, where does Rabbi Yechanan get that? The answer is Omakra, because you have like this. The pasuk says Kedei Risha, that you give a person Malchus according to his Risha, and we learn that, as we've said before, Mishum Risha Achas Atam Achaiva, that you only give a person, you only punish a person because of one Risha, V'yat Machaiva Mishum Shtei Rishayis. You can't give him Shtei Rishayis, there's no double jeopardy, you don't give him two penalties for the same act. Now, even Ullah agrees with that part so far, that you can only give one. That's why Ullah was saying, even Ullah was agreeing, you can't have both, it has to be one or the other. We're asking, why does Rabbi Yechanan say Davka the Malchus? The reason is, because the very next thing the pasuk says, after this pasuk of Kedei Rishasa, is Aboim Yakenev, that he gets 40, 39 really, Malchus. So we see, what the Torah is implying is, there can only be Risha Achas, and when you have a situation where there's Shtei Rishoyas, and you have to pick one of them, the one you pick is Malchus.
And not Mammon.
That would be, no, that's according to Rabbi Yechanan. That's according to Rabbi Yosef. Okay, so what? Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay, so what would Ulla answer to that? Ulla would say, Ulla would.
Mammon is also considered a Risha.
Yeah, if he has to pay, if he has to pay for what he did, that's considered a Risha also, that's considered a penalty. Yeah. So Ulla would answer to that, okay, fine, you know, very nice, you have that smichus, but we have a Gzeira Shava, tachas, that takes precedence. We learned even at the beginning of Yevamos that there's a big question when you dash and smoke him and when you don't, anyway. Yeah. Okay, the Gemara asks about a Chovel B'Chaveri, the Ikamamun Malkus. What about the case of Chovel B'Chaveri, which we discussed yesterday, which Ulla used that as one of, we wanted to use that as one of the examples that we wanted to, we started discussing yesterday. We said, how does Ulla know his point about that you do, that you pay money rather than getting Malkus? We tried to learn from Chovel B'Chaveri. We said Chovel B'Chaveri has a certain exception to it. We said maybe we learned from Adam Zomin had a certain exception to it. We tried to learn from both of them. We couldn't manage that either. And we finally said the Gzeira Shava. So now those two things of Chovel B'Chaveri and Adam Zomin come back as questions on Rabbi Yochanan. In those two cases, we know for a fact they pay money, they don't get Malkus, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Why does that work? V'arei Chovel B'Chaveri, the Ikam Mamun Malkus, there you have this Mamun, yeah, they have to pay money. Again, if we're talking about Chovel B'Chaveri, you have to pay the five different kinds of payments. Or Malkus, there should also be the Malkus because Lo Yosef Pen Yosef, the issue that you're not allowed to hit another Yid. Mamona Mashallah Milkalo Lucky, and yet we say that you pay money and you don't get Malkus. According to Rabbi Yochanan, why? According to Rabbi Yochanan, shouldn't you say you should get Malkus in that case? The Chitema, you might answer Hani Muli Hechadula Astrobe, so you might answer very simple. That case is talking about where they didn't give Masra for Malkus. I will Astrobe Milkaloki Mamona Le Mashallah. You might argue, no, Taka, if they gave Masra for Malkus, he would have to pay. He would have to get Malkus and not pay the five things. You can't say that. If a person hits somebody else in a way where the whole five things that he has to pay doesn't even add up to a pruta,
okay. And
loika, then he gets malchus, because less than a pruta is not considered money in halacha, so therefore there's nothing to pay. Rashi explains on the next Amud how it's possible that you have a ka shein b'shav a pruta. You have, for example, it was, let's say he gave him a slap. So there's no nezek because he didn't damage his value as a slave. Let's say it wasn't slap. Let's say it was a tap or something. You know, so there's no real tsar in it. There's no sheves. Obviously, he didn't lose time off work. There's no ripui. There's no doctor bills. And let's say he's a shoyter. So there's no bushes.
So what?
Yes. You know what the Gemara says about it? The Gemara says in Sanhedrin about a goy that hits a yid, that a goy should be chayav mitzvah for that. It's not considered one of the sheva mitzvahs because I think Mefarshim say that. I think maybe that even the Rambam says, I don't remember, that all it means is we tell the goy that you ought to be chayav mitzvah for that, but not that we're actually going to execute you. But still, yeah, you can see that's a serious thing. Actually, there's an interesting verse that I saw in this connection. We were saying over here that you get Malkus, but you get Malkus according to Ulla, you pay and you don't get Malkus. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you get Malkus and you don't pay. How can we find that La'asid Lavoi, when the Eibishter punishes the Goyim for what they did to the Jewish people over the thousands of years, they're going to be punished for Gufam, and they're also going to have to return everything they stole. How come? It shouldn't be Mamon and Malkus. And one answer they give is, we learned the other day about eating Truma, about a Zor eating Truma, where there he gets Malkus, not Malkus, there he gets Malkus or Kodesh, as the case may be, and he has to pay for the Nezek. The Pasuk calls the Jewish people Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, Reishis Tvuaso. The Pasuk calls that the Jewish people are like Truma. So yes, if a guy harms a Yid, then it's like eating Truma. And yes, you can get a double penalty for that. But ordinarily not. Yeah. Anyway. So Hekoa Kashain Meshava Prota. So if you hit somebody in a way that there's no Shava Prota, loika, then you do get Malkus. Now, Hechidomi, we have to consider what kind of case are we talking about. Idoloi Astrube, if they didn't give the guy Astra, am I loika? Then you don't get Malkus without Astra. Elop Shita de Astrube. Obviously, we have to be talking about you did Astra. The timer, and why is he getting Malkus? Only the less Shava Prota. Only because the blow was less worse than it was worth less than a Prota. Ha'is Shava Prota, Mamoni Mashala Milkalo Laki. Which implies if it was more than a Prota, even Rabbi Yochanan would have to agree that he does pay, he doesn't get the Malkus. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why? If the general rule is Kedei Risha, so only one Risha, and the Risha consists of Aboim Yakenu, then why would he make an exception to Chovel B'Chaveri? The answer is, because we would say, in that case, just like Rabbi Ila said, that the Torah specifically says that Edom Zomim pay rather than getting Malkus, just like, as we're going to quote in a minute, what Rabbi Ila says about that, what Pasuk he learns that from, Hachanami, the same thing over here, Beferish, Rips HaTorah, Chov HaBachavere LaTashlomin. The Torah specifically gives us a Pasuk that teaches us that Chov HaBachavere pays and doesn't get Malkus.
So that's just saying
Edim Zomim. No, that's what we're saying, both. We're saying Rabbi Ila found a Pasuk about Edim Zomim. There's a similar Pasuk about Chov HaBachavere that implies that there's only Tashlomin. So in the case with no tashlumen to be done because less than a shava prota, okay, then for less prayer, you give him malchus. Just like when you learn on Lama Gimel Lama Aleph, just like with Edom Zomim, you have a case where there's no money involved. There can only, and therefore you have to go, and therefore it defaults to malchus, but ordinarily you whenever possible you have him pay. Okay, v'heicha itbar de Rabbi Ila. Where exactly did Rabbi Ila say this about that the Torah specifically tells us that Edom Zomim pay rather than getting malchus? Aha. He was saying it relating to the following Mishnah. Mishnah says in Makos, Me'idin onu esish ploini, if two Edom come to Basin and they say, we're giving Edos on so-and-so, Shechayim v'chaverim asayim zuz, that he owes the other person 200 zuz, v'nipzu zaymin, and it turns out they're Edom zaymin, loikinu mishalmin. They get, Reb Meir is saying, they get Malkus and they have to pay. They get Malkus for the false testimony, because they were over on Loisana b'reach et shocher, and they also have to pay the guy the 200 zuz, Shaloi Hashem, I'm Mavi and Lidei Malkus, Mavi and Lidei Tashlomin, because it's not the same category that brought them to Malkus that brings them to Tashlomin. So Rashi says that means, in other words, there's two different psukim. The pasuk that teaches us that they get Malkus is, we said yesterday, Loisana Bereacha Eid Shaker, the ninth of the ten of the Asa Tadibus, is that you're not allowed to bear false witness. And if you do, it's like any other lav, and you chayev Malkus. The pasuk that teaches us that they have to pay is Kasher Zoman, two different psukim. Therefore, two different punishments. Tosfos discusses it. Tosfos discusses it a little bit. That who cares that it's in two different psukim? What does one have to do with the other? One answer. So Tosfos gives two answers. That one is that indeed we don't. Usually, we would say even if you have two psukim widely separated, we could call it a lav hanita klase. That's where you, let's say, the classical example of lav hanita klase is don't steal, but if you do, return the object. Fine. When you return the object, you've taken away the theft out of the thing that you stole from your property. You've undone the loy signov. As opposed to here, even if you pay the guy the 200 zuz, you haven't undone the fact that you gave Aegis Sheker. So therefore, so Tosfos' first explanation is that that's what the Gemara means here, that lo yashema mevila de makos mevila de tashlumin means they're two sort of unrelated things. Paying the money doesn't undo what they accomplished with their false aegis. And then
they couldn't leave them out of jail. I mean,
no, there's no jail. We'll talk about jail later.
Whatever. Okay. So.
No, but the point is, it's not like when a person. That's what we're saying. It's not like, for example, a person leaves over from a carbon, and then afterwards he has a mitzvah to burn it. By burning it, he's gotten rid of the thing that the meat that he left over. By returning a lost object, Shiloh HaKan, all the many other examples of lava mitzvah class A that we have here. Tosfos' first explanation is paying the guy the money that you were going to make him lose does not undo the fact that you gave false aegis. And then Tosfos has another explanation that it means that the pasuk loisana bechlal doesn't tell us anything about tashlumin. So they're really two different. They're really two unrelated things. Anyway, so that's divir of meir. V'chachamim kolam ashalim ain't like the chum say no. Anybody who pays money does not have to get malchus. So they pay the guy the 200 zuz, they don't get malchus. Now the question is, why don't the Chum say the other way around, that he gets whoever gets malchus doesn't pay? In other words, why don't we say, let him get malchus for the loisana b'rei achayit shaker, not pay the guy the 200 zuz? Why don't we say that way? No, not necessarily. Because we're saying over here, because here for one thing, Rabbi Meir is saying over here, you get both loika umashalim. The Tanakama is saying that they pay and they don't get malchus. According to Ula, that's because you always pay and don't get malchus. That's the thing. So Ula would say the reason is because in every case where there's malchus versus mammon, you always pay mammon and don't get malchus. And Rabbi Yechanan would say no. Rabbi Yechanan would say chovu b'chaveira and edim zomim are exceptions to the general rule. But it has nothing to do with the machlokas Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir would say that you get both.
Right.
Yeah, that has nothing to do. Anyway, so the name of Kol like Benim Shalom here is where Amar Abayla Befeder Shrubes HaTorah Edim Zomim L'Tashlumin. The Torah specifically tells us that Edim Zomim have to pay. Now Heichan Rubes HaTorah. Where exactly does the Torah say that? Well, like this. What does the Pasuk say? It says that when you find that the Edim are Zomim, you should do to them, and you should do to him as he plotted to do to his brother. Which means, as we know, that whatever they plan to do to the other guy who they were testifying against, is done to them. If they were testifying that he's going to be executed, then they get executed with that Misa. If they were going to get a Malkus, then they get Malkus, etc. Once the Pasuk says that, Yod be Yod Lomli, why does the Pasuk need to continue? The next Pasuk continues, V'leisachas Einecha, Nefesh be Nefesh, Ein be Ein, Shein be Shein, Yod be Yod. What's the Yod be Yod Lomli? It means Dover Anitin, Miyad be Yad. It means that they have to pay something. It means something that's given from hand to hand. Umay new moment, namely money. So by putting the word Yod be Yod, which we don't need that, because we would have understood from Vasitim like Kasha Zomam, that the general rule is whatever they want to do to the guy is done to them.
That's what we get.
Therefore, we get the idea of money. Tosfos points out also, the fact is, it obviously can't mean yod be yod in the simple sense that if they plan to have his hand chopped off, then they're going to have to pay or get their hand chopped off. There's no punishment in Beis Din where a person's hand is chopped off. So therefore, obviously, the pasuk yod be yod must mean something that's given from hand to hand.
Well, they think yod be yod and I buy and send the same. Why yod be yod special?
Tosfos points out that actually the Tosfos refers to a Gemara in Baba Kama. The Gemara has a whole sugya at the beginning of Perek HaChovel in Baba Kama that discusses taka. How do we know that ayin takas ayin means mamon and not that you literally put out the guy's eye? And one of the sources is this pasuk over here, yod b'yod. The Gemara explains over there all the other expressions there, ayin b'ayin, shein b'shein, what each of those represents. But yod be yod is extra. Yod be yod is not needed for any of those things.
But he's asking a different.
No, I understand what you're asking. You're asking if you're saying that yod be yod is for this purpose. What are we using? Ayin by ayin, shein by shein, etc.
No, he's asking how do we know yod be yod, shein by shein, ayin by ayin is a money punishment rather than physical punishment.
No, so that's what I'm saying. That you have that whole sugya in Baba Kama that explains how we know, based on many different, the Gemara brings over there six or seven different limudim, how we learn that this whole concept means to pay money. But one of the limudim that we do over there involves this pasuk over here, and the Gemara explains the words ayin b'ayin, shein b'shein we use for other purposes. Yod b'yod is left over, and therefore it's available for this purpose. Yeah. So therefore we have, that's what Rabbi Hillel means, that the Torah Befeirush says that Edim Zomim have to pay money. So that's what the words Yod B'Yod mean. Choyva B'Chaver Inami, well the same thing goes as far as when somebody injures somebody else. Mechti Ksiv Kasha Osa Kenya Osaloi, the Pasuk says, this is in Parshas Emor, that as of the Ishkiit in Mumbam Miso, the Pasuk says, Kasha Osa Kenya Osaloi, as he did, so should be done to him. So Kenya Nosen B'Lomali, two or three Psukim later, it says, Kasha Yitin Mumba Adam Kenya Nosen B'Oi. What do we need the word keni nothing by lomali? Again, means dover sheyesh bein nesina. It means something that involves giving. Umay new moment, namely money. So in both of those cases, the Torah is specifically telling us that there's money to be paid. So Ula would say that those are just two examples throughout the Torah where we see that you pay mammon rather than getting malchus. Although he himself learns the actual fact that it applies also in our case over here, in our case of our perek over here of Achoiso, that because of the Gzeir Shor Tachas. Rabbi Yechon would say no; those two are exceptions. Those two cases, Chovel B'Chaveira and Edim Zomim, are exceptions. In every other case, you get Malkus and you don't pay. Therefore, that would apply to our Mishnah as well. So, in our Mishnah, if we're telling us you have to pay, it has to be there was no Asura. Now, the question is, Rabbi Yechon, my time Allah Omakulah, why Taka doesn't Rabbi Yechon agree with Ula, that we learn from the Gzeira Shava? And as Tosfos points out, we know that Gzeira Shava is used in other places in Shas. It's definitely an accepted, it's definitely a Gzeira Shava that everybody knows and accepts. The answer is, because he argues, if you're going to tell me that there's a that a person of Baal HaChoyse does not get Malkus, the Torah says, there's a lav, Erbes HaChoyse Choloise Galei. You have a Befeirush Alav that you're not allowed to do it. Alav is Chayav Malkus. If you're going to tell me that we're swapping that out for money, then effectively, what is the Alav accomplishing? Yeah. And as Tosis points out, I mean, Isaac Zeta Shovel, okay, we use Zeta Shovel for other things.
How do we know that the love is automatically...
Generally speaking, unless the Torah tells us explicitly, or unless it follows one of the particular rules that tells us that a certain love is not Chayav Malkus, for example, Ein by Maisa, or it's Nitik La'Ese, or whatever, then in general, it's Chayav Malkus.
Yeah, but the Torah doesn't say that one is a love and another Isha,
no, but that's Rabbi Yochanan is arguing, right, but Rabbi Yochanan is arguing, given that you have Eretz Achos Chaloy Segale, if it was just that you have to pay money, the Torah wouldn't have to tell us a lav for it. You don't have to have a lav in order to owe somebody money. But you need a lav in order to give the guy Malkus. What would the lav, what would the function of the lav be if the guy's not getting Malkus?
For Torah, no.
Okay, but there it's at the end of the parasha there it says that there's kodesh for all of these things. Okay, the Gemara asks back chovah b'chaveri nami and can be talpa lo yosef ten yosef. Fine, by that logic, what are you going to say about the chovah b'chaveri? We said that there's a lav and in principle the guy should be chayav malkus for chovah b'chaveri because lo yosef ten yosef. You said again according to Ula, you said that in general you always pay malman. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we said in this particular case we have a pasuk that tells us chovah b'chaveri pays money. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan make the same argument against himself? That you have a pasuk lo yosef ten yosef. So how are you setting that aside in favor of making the guy pay money? And Edim Zomim Namiyim can be talked to Vahoyim Bina Kosa Rasha. And what about the Edim Zomim? You have a pasuk that says that if the Rasha is Chayiv Malkus, which the Gemara explained at the beginning of Masechta Makos, that pasuk is teaching us about Edim Zomim. You have certain cases, and the Gemara, the Mishnah, just the first Mishnah of Makos discusses, you have certain cases where Edim Zomim give false Edus against somebody, which we're going to talk about the details soon. For example, they give Edus and based in that he's a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza. Turns out that they're Edim Zomim. You don't declare them instead Bnei Grusha or Bnei Chalutza. You don't declare them Chalalim. They may not even be Kayanim after all. Instead, you give them Malkus. Where do we learn that from this pasuk? V'hayim bin HaKoyis HaRasha. Again, let Rabbi Yochanan make the same argument against himself. By that logic, if you're saying the Torah tells us, okay, the Torah implies that somebody has to get Malkus, you can't set it aside in favor of making them pay money, what are you going to do in the case of Chayv B'chaber and Edim Zomim? Ella, no, you would answer Edim Zomim, Epshel HaKiyum Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. No, you could answer the Edim Zomim, yes, if they're testifying that the guy is Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, that's when you give him Malkus. Maybe the Torah is, Rabbi Yochanan could answer, yes, what the Torah tells us that pasuk, V'hayim Bin HaKoyz HaRasha, to tell you that there's certain cases where we give the Edim Zomim Malkus, even though what they were trying to accomplish with their false testimony has nothing per se to do with Malkus. Nevertheless, there is a custom that they get Malkus. But in all other cases, you're saying that in cases of money, rather, in cases where they testified against somebody, it is a matter of money, then you would say you apply the pasuk yod b'yod and make them pay money. So you could argue, in other words, Rabbi Yochanan could answer that objection by saying that there's two different cases. You have a case where it involves, something that on the face of it shouldn't involve Malkus, and the Torah is telling us Malkus, V'hayim bin HaKoyz HaRasha. Then you have something else where on the face of it there could be Malkus, there could be money, because they were made on the guy who owes 200 zuz. And instead, based on yod b'yod, we're saying money yes, Malkus no. So there wouldn't be a contradiction. And so then, in that case, you could argue the same thing. That why would Rabbi Yochanan not consider that a contradiction to his opinion? He would say again, you have two different cases of Chovah B'Chaveri. You have a case where it's not a Shavah Pruta, and you have a case where it is a Shavah Pruta. No Shavah Pruta, he gets Malkus. That's what the pasuk lo Yosef, Ken Yosef is accomplishing. Yeah, if there's money to be paid, if it's more than a Shavah Pruta, then you apply the pasuk Ken Yosef and Bo that he pays that money. Well then, by that logic, Achoyse Nami Ikalik Yuma Bachoyse Bogris. Then in that case, why wouldn't so Rabbi Yochanan should just as well say the same thing? What are you telling me? I object to Ula because what are you going to do with the pasuk Erevas Achoyse Chalei Segale? Simple. The pasuk Erevas Achoyse Chalei Segale is talking about where there's no money because she's a Bogris. The pasuk Ula's Zera Shava Tachas is teaching us that when there's money to be paid, when she's a Naira, then you pay that. So therefore, there's no contradiction. What's Rabbi Yochanan's problem with all those Zereshava? No, the answer is Amalach, on the side over here, Hagoyt Abach has Ella Amalach, Rabbi Yochanan, Hai Tachas Hashu'inu Miboyle L'chadabaya. No, you, Ula, want to say the pasuk Tachas, the two words Tachas are available for Zereshava, and therefore we have that Zereshava? No, as a matter of fact, one of those words, Tachas, is needed to teach us what Abaya teaches us. The pasuk, what does the pasuk say? A man is ma'anis.
So we're saying we'll say another gzorshav is already used for something.
Yeah, not before. We were talking about Tosfos had mentioned the idea that maybe Rabbi Yochanan would say the whole gzorshav is used for something else. I accept the gzorshav, but it's used for something else. Now we're saying that no, maybe he disagrees with the gzorshav. We've learned a few times already that you have a concept of Gzereshav has to be mufne. It has to be that the words in the pasuk are, well, actually, it's a machlokes, whether it has to be that both words are available or only one of them, whether lemeidin or meshivin or whatever. Rabbi Yochanan is arguing at least one of the words over here, maybe ayin tachas ayin, we don't need the word tachas, fine, because it's going to say ayin b'ayin. But in the word tachas esha'ina, we definitely need the word tachas to teach us something else. So it's only mufne b'tzadecha at best. And in that case, lemeidin, you can learn such a kavachomer, or meshivin, but you can also shlug it up if you have a reason to. Rabbi Yochanan is arguing I have a reason to shlug it up because the pasuk seems to be saying as a blanket statement that you always get malchus for Eves HaChoscha. What am I using? Why is it not mufna? What am I using the word tachas for? What Abaye teaches us? The Amar Abaye, Amar Kro Tachas Hashoina. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says that a man is ma'anes a girl, or is ma'anes a naira. He has to pay the nachna isha shechavim la v'yanaro chamishim kosef. And v'loitzi al isha, tachas hasho'ina. So, because he was ma'anah her, because he afflicted her.
And that's extra.
Hai tachas hasho'ina, the implication of the pasuk is like this. It means that Abaye is saying like this. Later on, towards the end of the parak, the Gemara discusses, the mission discusses the idea, which we've touched on before, that besides the 50 shkolim that we make the guy pay, as a knas to the girl or to her father, as the case may be. Besides that, he also has to pay nezek and boshes and a case of onus also tzar. Now, where do we get that from? Why, Taka, don't we say maybe the 50 shkolim includes all of the above? So Abaye says, because this pasuk. What is the pasuk saying? He pays the 50 shkolim, tachas hasho'ina, because he afflicted her. Hai tachas hasho'ina, mikal the ikar boshes of gam, implying he's paying 50 shkolim for the fact that he afflicted her, for the fact that he had hana from having relations with her. On top of that, he also has to pay other things as well. We need the word tachas to teach us that.
Ina
yitzah is not the same. What? Ina yitzah. No, well, tachas means that she was ma'ana her, that he had the pleasure. She had inui. He had the pleasure.
Ina.
Right. He was ma'ana her, yes.
So
therefore,
Ina doesn't exclude anything.
Doesn't, right. Ina just means it means that Ina means, in other words, effectively he's paying for the fact that he had the tana. Besides that, he has to pay for the damage that he did to her. Namely nezek, tzar, and boshes. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan argues, so you don't have one of the words tachas available for you, gzeira shava. So therefore, I don't agree with the gzeira shava. But Ula, so what does Ula answer that? Nachalami de Rava. He learns the same thing from what Rava says instead. In that same sugya later on in the perek, we said Abaye has one explanation where we learn that you have to have on top of that boshes and nezek and tzar. Rava learns it from a different pasuk. The Amar Rava, Amar Krav, Nosan Isha Sheikhavim, Alabianara Hamishim Kasif. The pasuk says that the person who had relations with her has to give the father of the girl 50 silver coins, which implies Hanah Shechiva Hamishim. He's paying 50 for the Hanah that he got from lying with her. Mikal Deik, the Boshes of Gam. Again, implying that there's something on top of that, the Boshes and the Gam. So Ullah says, therefore, I don't need the word Tachas for that. Therefore, the word Tachas is extra. Once it's extra, it's available for Agzer Shabbat. And therefore, that's what I use it for. So in other words, basically it comes down to that the machloikas Rabbi Yochanan and Ulla depends on this machloikas of Abaye and Rava. Where are we learning Boshes and Gam and Tzar from? Are we learning it from Tachas or are we learning it from Hashoy Chavima? Going back to what we said before, we said before that Edim Zomid in the case where they're giving Edus on somebody that he owes money, that we make them pay, we don't give them malchus. So we were saying that the reason is because we have the pasuk yod b'yod. Now we have a different explanation. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Edim Zomin, Rabbi Lazar actually says on the side, Edim Zomin Mamona Mashalmi or Milkalo Loki. You know why the Edim Zomin only pay money and they don't get malchus? Where there's a choice in the matter, where there's money to be paid. The reason is Mishum Delav B'nei Hasra Ninu, because you're not able to give them Hasra. No, in order to be chayav malchus, you'd have to give them asra. You'd have to warn them. You should know if you do this, you're going to be chayav malchus with edim zomim, as the Gemara is going to establish. Now you can't do that. Amar Rava teda, and Rava says, indeed, you can see that you can realize that that's true. So you have to consider nitzri b'hu emas. When are we supposed to give them asra? Nitzri b'hu meikra. Should we give them asra far ahead of time? Let's say, you know, a day or an hour before they come into Beis Din and start giving the edus. Can't. Amri ishtalin. They can then claim later on if it turns out that it was false edus and they're shown up as edim zomim, they're going to argue, you know what, we can't be chayav malchus, we forgot the hasra. The hasra has to be given b'tarech kedibur of the act.
Why is that?
Because that's exactly why. Because you don't want the guy shouldn't be able to have the excuse that I forgot. If you give the guy hasra, and then later on, sometime later, he goes and does the aveda, he can argue. He has a valid claim in Beis Din. I forgot. I forgot. You know, yes, they told me that I'd be chayav misa or malchus or what have you. I forgot, and they'd have no choice but to accept that. Yes, right. So you can't give them the hasra far in advance. Nitzri b'hu b'shas ma'isa. Should we give them the hasra right there, right before they give their edus? Can't. Then they're going to say, you know what, forget about it. If you're going to already be giving us asra, that you're treating us like we're lying, then you know what, forget about it. We won't give the ages. Even if it's true. Yeah. Needs to be ruled of a safe, and if we're going to give them asra after they said their ages, can't. My dehavahava. Once they said their ages, they can't undo it anyway. So there's no time that you could actually give them asra that would be effective. Why? What's the problem? Why don't we say that you should give them hasra well in advance? Let's say sometime long before they start giving ages. So Abaye says, why don't we say you could give them hasra after they said it. So immediately they finish their edus, immediately you give them a hasra, that you should know if what you said was false, then you are going to be chayav malchus.
And
then they have a chance to undo it, actually. Which Tosfos explains, I mean, obviously the time it takes to say the hasra is more than tzarich ledibur. But Tosfos explains, as long as we're dealing with the same topic, it's considered the tzarich ledibur. In other words, it's not, normally tzarich ledibur is, what, 3 or 4 seconds. They finish their edus, immediately within tzarich ledibur, they said, start telling them the hasra, and immediately within the tzarich ledibur, after that, they have their chance to retract. So that could work. And here's another possibility. Why don't we say you give them edus well in advance? And then what we do is, beforehand, when you give them the hasra, you give them the full fire and brimstone. You should know if you're giving this as false edus, then what you're doing now is false edus. You're going to be high of malchus for it. Later on, right before they give the edus, hint to them. So, you know, in a more gentle way, like, by the way, don't forget what we told you before. That's not going to embarrass them in a way that they're going to say, you know what, forget about it, you're treating us like Rishayim, let's not bother giving the edus. But it'll still be effective. They won't have the excuse that we forgot. Shita Mukubetis, by the way, talks about the idea of what the fact is. He brings from the Ritva. The fact is, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that before Edom give Edus, we do warn them. The whole speech that they, especially in Dinin Nefashos, that the Gemara says that they give Edom before they start giving Edus. That remember, every Jewish life is like a whole world, and if you swear falsely, then the whole world trembles, etc. A whole long speech. So how does that fit with our Gemara over here? And the answer is there's a difference. Yes, that's the general thing you tell Edom. You're not telling them you specifically. You're saying, in a more general way, you should know, giving false edus is a very, very serious thing. The hasra we're talking about over here would have to be a hasra, like kind of hasra you give a person before they eat chalev or break Shabbos or what have you. What you're doing is chayiv misa or malchus or what have you. You better not do it. That would be the kind of hasra we'd have to be talking about over here. The edus that you're about to give is false edus, and you're going to be chayiv malchus for it. Well, in that case, they're likely to say, you know what, if you're already calling it false edus, why are we bothering? As opposed to the normal kind of eum that we give them, that is warning them, be careful, you're not giving false aid. It's fine, that's not personal against me. That won't deter them. Also, by the way, they point out the issue. I mean, usually by Hasrah, the din is not just that the person has to hear the Hasrah, it has to be hitter after the Misa. It has to be the person actually says, I know, I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to do it anyway. You can't very well do that over here, because you can't, that's part of the issue also. Even if you're going to give them a Hasrah, they can't very well say, well, we don't care, we're going to give false Aegis. Obviously, they're trying to claim it's true Aegis. Hadr Amar Abaya, but then Abaya said, Lav Mil Sehida Amar, you know what, this objection that I had, that you should be able to give them a Hasrah, but says, is really not right. It's true, Edim Zemin do not need Hasrah. Because Edim Zomin Tzrich Hasra, because if you're going to argue that Edim Zomin need Hasra, what are you going to say? Kilo Masrin and Behu like Kaplin and Behu. What are you going to say then? The effect of it would be that in a case of Misa, if they were coming and testifying that somebody was Mechal Shabbos, let's say, and therefore was Chayiv Misa. So what? If we didn't give them Hasra, we wouldn't be able to kill them. How is that possible?
Edim Zomin, they're not made on a person. They're made of different ages.
No. Edim Zomin are made on somebody. Edim Zomin are people. They come to Beis Din. The ones who are mazed them are saying on them. Yeah, no. But the point is like this. When you think about it, they're Edim Zomin. They're claiming we saw Reuven breaking Shabbos. They weren't there to actually see Reuven break Shabbos. So obviously they didn't give him Hasra. So what are you going to say? They're going to get out of it if they didn't get Hasra? Why would that be fair? They didn't give the guy Hasra. Why should we have to give them Hasra in order to punish them? If you're going to think that Edim Zomin need Hasra, what? So what are you telling me that if we don't give them Hasra, you can't kill them? Why? How could it be? They plan to get the guy killed without giving him Hasra, because the fact is they're Edim Zomin, they didn't give him Hasra. And you're going to say they should need Hasra. You have to have that you do to them like they plan to do to the guy, and you won't. So automatically, therefore, if it turns out that they're Edim Zomin, by definition, they didn't give the guy Hasra. Therefore, by definition, they shouldn't need Hasra either.
That's something you mean. There's no Torah possibly says that they need Hasra? No, obviously.
No, but usually the rule is that in order to be Chayev Malkus or Misa, you need Hasra.
Right.
Actually, by the way, as far as this Hitter asked me the Misa thing, where the answer that I saw on it was that applies to Misa, not to Malkus. When it comes to Misa, yes, if you see somebody breaking Shabbos and you're warning him, if you don't do this, if you do this, you're going to be high of Misa, then yes, you have to say, I'll help you, Cain. I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway, and he does it, but that's going to do it. With Malkus, you don't necessarily need that. With Malkus, just giving him Asura and him not replying is good enough. So that's why we were arguing that maybe you should be able to give Hasra, but Abaye say no, because Kasha Zalman, it has to be that what you're doing to him is exactly what he plans to do to the other guy. He didn't give Hasra, therefore they didn't give him Hasra, therefore you don't need to give them Hasra.
How can you have a case of Hasra, the guy is not going to be forced to say, yes, I understand if I do this, etc. Are you going to force it?
You can't force it. If he doesn't accept it, if he's not hit to ask him in the Misa, then fine, the Eivishter will deal with him. Okay, so it's a case of Lahach, it's fine. Maskiflor of Sama Breda Rabbi Yirmiyah, Elameata. So, okay, by that logic, if you're telling me then that the whole reason you don't have to give the Edim Zomin Hasra is because they didn't give the guy their attempted victim Hasra, well then Elameata Ben Grusho Ben Chalutza. What about the case that we mentioned before where Edim come and say Edus on somebody that's a Ben Grusho Ben Chalutza? Deloy mikasha kasha zama misrabi. We're there, after all, the fact that we give them malchus, we don't learn from kasha zama, and we learn instead from the pasuk that we said before, v'hoye bin akoyta rasha, that they get malchus in that case. What are you going to say, liboy hasra? You should argue that then they're going to need hasra. Then you're back to the problem. How are you giving these guys hasra? The answer is no, that's not a problem, because omakram mishpat echad yelachem mishpat ashav alakochem. The pasuk says there should be one judgment for all of you, meaning it has to be equal for everyone. Most Edim Zomin don't need Hasra because they didn't give the guy Hasra, and therefore it's Hasha Zaman. So even you have the rare case of Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza, for example, where Hasra is not relevant because you can't be master on somebody, you're Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza, then yeah, it's still we still say they don't need Hasra. You apply the rules across the board to all Edim Zomin that they don't need Hasra. Mishpatechad, one law. Yes, so in all those cases of Edim Zomin, they don't need Hasra, yeah.
Because, I mean, there's nothing to withhold you from applying it in this case of the Grusha, because it doesn't apply, basically, intrinsically.
No, but that was the argument. If we're saying essentially that's sort of a matter of fairness, they didn't give the guy Hasra, therefore you don't have to give them Hasra. So where Hasra is not relevant, should we have to give them Hasra? And the answer is no, it's Mishpatechad, yeah. Okay, so there we have, so we had Rabbi Elazar gave us another source for the idea that Edom Zomim men pay rather than getting Malkus, because they haven't gotten Asrar. Without Asrar, you can't really be giving them Malkus. But in the cases where you have to give them Malkus anyway, okay, then you say that's an exception to the rule. We mentioned yesterday that that's a chumra of Edom Zomim men, that they get punished even without Asrar. But we shouldn't apply that more than necessary. So where there's a choice, Malkus versus Momin, we should assume it's Momin. Now, how about the other one, Chovo B'Chavere, which we said before, we brought before a pasuk to show that Chovo B'Chavere pays money rather than getting Malkus. Again, there's a choice where it's more than a Shavu Chutzah. We mentioned from Kenyan Asenvay. He also, Rav Shisha B'Rei Rav Yidiyama, Chovo B'Chavere Nami Mamonim Mashalom Mubakaloi Laki. When it comes to Chovo B'Chavere also, we can prove from another pasuk that you pay money and you don't get Malkus. Mehacha, from the following pasuk. Pasuk says, V'Chiyinotzuan Noshim, if people are fighting, they strike a pregnant woman, and her babies come out. She miscarries. We say that
yes,
we talked about it the other day, that if there's no osam, then we punish the guy who hit her. We make him pay to mevlodis. Now, for Omer Rav Elazar, the matzus shemamisa hakas of medaber. The pasuk is talking about the matzus meloshin v'chiyinatsu. We're talking about a fight to the death. One of them was actually trying to kill the other one. We're not talking about there were two people trading punches on the street. We're talking one of them was actually trying to kill the other. And then the pregnant woman got in the way when it was caught in the crossfire. Why? Because the pasuk continues, v'im osin yiv v'nosata nefesh tachas nefesh. The pasuk continues that if there's osin, then you give a life instead of a life. Now, if you tell me, we have to ask, what kind of case? So nefesh tachas nefesh, in other words, implying that you actually kill the guy who killed the pregnant woman. Now, what case would that be? Either like Asrube, if they didn't give him Asra, my Mikdo, then how you kill him? You can't kill a person without Asra. Ela Pshita de Asrube, obviously they must have given him Asra. Umusru l'dav chomer, have a musru l'dav arkal. Now, we should assume that if somebody got Asra for a harsher punishment, then it also includes Asra for a lighter punishment. Meaning, in other words, if we gave him out, if we told this guy, if you kill your friend over there, then if you kill the guy you're fighting with, you are going to be chayav misa, and he says, I don't care, I want to get him anyway. It turns out he got somebody else instead. He got this pregnant woman. Now, Rashi adds one detail over here that we're talking about over here, this manda omer over here, this explanation has to be that if a person is intending to kill Reuben and instead kills Shimon, he would still be chayav misa, which is actually a whole machlokas of its own in Sanhedrin. But if we're assuming over here that that's the case over here, that Reuben and Shimon are fighting, and Reuben intends to kill Shimon, and instead he hits this pregnant woman and kills her, and we're saying he'd be chayav misa, obviously there has to be, according to that opinion, that he could be chayav misa for that. Be that as it may, there's two opinion on that itself. One said, yeah. But anyway, what are we saying also? We're saying that, so when Reuben accepts the Hasra, he says, I don't care, I want to kill Shimon anyway. And he, instead of killing Shimon, he actually hits the woman and damages her and makes her miscarry, but doesn't actually kill her. That should be included in the Hasra, presumably, because if he accepted on himself Hasra, then he's willing even to risk he's willing to risk Mrs. Baston. Certainly he's willing to risk Malchus. And yet the pasuk is saying that if there's no osin, if the woman wasn't killed, then he just gets fined. He has to pay his mevlodis. Meaning, even though you would have thought that he should get Malkus, because he accepted the Hasra of Abissa, that should automatically include Malkus, we're saying that no, we're taking away the Malkus and putting money instead. That goes to show that the general rule of Chayva B'Chavera, you pay money rather than getting Malkus.
That's for a third party, actually.
It doesn't matter. It's still the same principle. That in a case of Chayva B'Chavera, you see that you're paying money rather than getting Malkus.
You can take from that example?
However, Maskifor Rav Ashi asks a different question on that. I mean, you're assuming that if he accepted the Hasra from Misa, then automatically he's willing to take his chances with Malkus. First of all, we might have Musul Dabra Chama, have Musul Dabra Akal. First of all, who says that rule B'chal applies? Dermoy Habi. Maybe not. Maybe the rule is that the person, you can only give the person the punishment that he actually accepted the Hasra for. He accepted the Hasra, I don't care, I want to kill the guy, I don't care if I get killed by Beis Din. Fine. He didn't necessarily accept the Hasra for, he didn't necessarily accept the Hasra for Malkus. First of all that, And imtim tzaloy mahavi, and even if you accept that principle, that maybe you say, fine, his hasrof, the hasrof of Misa also includes Malchus, mimai Misa chamura, who says that in his eyes, who says that from his point of view, Misa is considered a harsher thing. Doma Malchus chamur. Maybe he would think Malchus as being a harsher thing. Because what they're talking about, what he's thinking, when he's accepting this hasrof, he's saying, you being master on me, that if I kill this guy, or any other bystander, again, according to this opinion, I'm going to be chayiv misa. I don't care if I'm chayiv misa. Thomas Nafshi implished him. But maybe he's thinking, but I'm not willing to accept the hasra of Malchus then. If you were to tell him, when he comes to Beis Din and we tell him, you should be getting Malchus because you caused this woman to miscarry, why shouldn't he be able to argue back? You know what? I would never have done it. I would have stopped the fight if I knew that I'm going to be getting that I'm setting myself up for Malchus.
So now we're making Asra dependent on his acceptance of that Asra.
It has to be. There has to be acceptance of Asra for sure. When we tell him you're going to be Chayav Misa, he has to say Alpha Pitain and then and go ahead and do it. But that's what we're arguing over here. Even if you're going to say that Asra for a harsher punishment automatically includes Asra for a lighter punishment, which therefore, let's say we would say if you give the guy Asra for Skila, let's say, and it turns out in the end he's going to be Chayav Sreifa, fine, you could argue maybe that you give him Sreifa because the lighter one Sreifa is included in the harsher one Skila. And in fact, the Gemara Tosfos points out that the Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to accept that the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about something similar. Imagine you have a bunch of condemned criminals that all get mixed up. You mix up the files. You're not sure who is who. You know some of these people are Chayav Skila and some Sreifa and some Hereg and some Chenek. You're not sure which one is which. Give them all Chenek, which is the lightest of the four. You don't say maybe the guy who was given Hasra for Skila would say, you know what, if I had known Chenek, I would have never accepted it. Fine, you know, let's say we accept that Musr al-Davar Chomer includes Musr al-Davar Akal. Fine, but that's all within Misa. Who says that a person would think of Malchus as being lesser than Misa? Maybe Malchus is more serious. The Amar Rav, because we find an expression that Rav says, Il Moli Nagdu L'Chanani Mishol V'Azayi, if they had whipped Hanani Mishal Vazaya, Pochol Atzalma, they would have bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar's statue. We know that they're willing to go on the Siddur Nefesh, they were thrown into a fire. Because Nebuchadnezzar was threatening anybody who doesn't bow down to the statue is going to be thrown into a fire. But if they had threatened to beat them instead, they might have worshipped it. Therefore, we see that beating is worse than being killed. Being killed, okay, it's a quick thing, and then it's over. Beating is an ongoing thing.
Torture might be...
Torture, yeah.
I understand that, but that's not the question. The question is, how can we say that about the study?
So first of all, Tosfos discusses over here that not necessarily was the statue meant as an object of idol worship, as an Avodah Zarah. It may have been an image in honor of the king, in honor of Nebuchadnezzar. So in that case, there actually is no, there isn't, it's not necessarily also as a matter of a desire to bow down to it. And in fact, the Mepharshim point out that the Medrash in Shirashirim Rabbah that seems to imply that, there's a couple of different sources that imply that as well. Among them, the Medrash mentions that the Hanani Mishael and Azariah went to Yechezkel to ask him what to do. He advised them to hide and they said, Haytochen, what, you know, people are going to think that people are going to think there's no problem with bowing down to the statue. I'll go, but we'll go on Mesudas Nefesh. If it was a matter of a desire, then what do you mean? We're going to show everybody. Of course, you have to. But if it's a matter of they're saying we want to show not to make a chilul Hashem. We want to show that even though Nebuchadnezzar is making it in his honor, we're not going to make a chilul Hashem by bowing to it. Then it makes more sense. Also, for example, it refers over here on the side to the Gemara in Tzachim what were Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah thinking when they were willing to go into the furnace? It says they learned from the Tzartim, they learned from the frogs in Mitzrayim. Madach, the frogs went into who weren't commanded to go any specific place, went into the ovens and whatnot. How much more so we should? If it's a matter of Avodah Zarah, what do you mean you have to learn it from the frogs? The Torah says Yehoreg Val Yaver. But if it's only a statue in honor of the king, then that makes sense. Tosfos ends up saying, though, that the fact is the Lashon Plachu is a little hard to understand, that according to that. Plachu literally means they worshipped. So it means it's an actual object of worship. Okay, but there's a lot of give and take. So the Shittim Mekubetzes brings actually an interesting idea based on what the Gemara is going to continue over here, that there's a difference between Yisurim that have a limit and that don't have a limit, that yes, when we say Yehoreg Val Yaver, it actually means a person has to be ready to be killed to avoid a zara gila raiz and shpichas damim, but not necessarily to avoid unlimited yisurin. Tosfos brings over here the famous story of Rabbi Akiva, that they combed off his flesh, and he was still saying Shema and everything, but even that could be considered Yisurin Sheyesh Tan Kitzvah. There's a limit. They eventually, the combing ends and he dies. Mashenkin, you know, you have, for example, I mean, you think of the things that the Inquisition did, the Nazis did, you know, that you can have a torture without end. The Shittim HaKabethas brings an opinion that, yes, maybe a person wouldn't be chayiv to be Moisa Nefesh in a case like that.
He knows what he's getting.
If he knows that it's going to be an endless thing. Mephoshim also talk a lot about, for example, that we know in our Shittim HaKabethas brings such an opinion. But there's also, it's talked about in Halacha, the relevance of that. As far as suicide, Rahman al-Islam, if a person knows that he's, you know, the case of Sholem Melech, for example, where he knows if he falls into the hands of the Plishtim, there'll be an endless, they'll torture him endlessly, and he was and according to many opinions, he was right in falling on his sword and killing himself to avoid that.
Thing about that, I just wanted to mention a story of my father who was taken by the Germans and beaten. And with harshness of Malchus, he was praying. He knew that on every 10th lash, he would lose consciousness. And he was praying that he would lose consciousness early on because it's such a harsh treatment.
Wow. There is, by the way, as far as what you were saying before about how do we say such a thing about tzaddikim, there is actually a verse they say from the Chiddush Arim that's exactly what the Gemara is trying to point out over here. The Gemara is trying to point out the famous expression, "Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bavit Shuni Yom Riyos," that the Eibush never gives a person a nisayon that they wouldn't be able to withstand. Since you can't be expected to withstand an endless amount of Malkus, an endless amount of Nagru, therefore the Eibush didn't bring that nisayon on Hanani Mishael Vazayah because they wouldn't have been able to pass it. Anyway. So we see from that, therefore, that Malchus can be harsher than Misa. Amalei of Sama Breda of Ashi, Lord of Ashi, Amalei of Sama Breda of Ashi, Lord of Ashi. Okay, Loishani Loch Ben Akashi, Yesh La Kitzva, Akashi and La Kitzva. Fine, but don't you realize there's a difference between between Malchus that has an end versus that doesn't have an end? When it comes to Malchus and Beis Din, you know there's a limit. There's no more than 39. When it comes to Nebuchadnezzar's Malchus, there's no limit. He's not following the Torah. So therefore, yes, you could argue then that a person is that when you could argue, assuming that we accept that when a person accepts hasra for a davar chamur, then automatically includes a davar akal. So yes, you would say a maximum of 39 malchus, anybody would consider that less than misa, as opposed to Hanani Mishael Vazalia, where you never know, he could have given him 1,000 lashes. Yes, that might be worse than misa. So therefore, so according to that logic, so therefore, if we accept that logic, then there we have Rav Elazar's proof that we see over there that the person accepted Hasra from Misa. By rights, you should be able to give him Malchus instead because he injured the woman, and yet we're saying instead of Malchus, we're making him pay. That proves that a Chayv B'Chavera pays rather than getting Malchus.
In certain cases.
In all cases. Only unless it's less than Shavu Prota. Any case where it's possible for him to pay, he pays rather than getting Malchus.
How would it be logical that less than a person the Torah should put on Yisurin?
Because there's no money to be paid, so therefore it defaults to the next thing, you know. The truth is, Tosfos discussed briefly at the beginning of the sugya on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, that yeah, I mean, doesn't it come out then that you're giving the guy a kula, that he's able to pay money and get out of Malchus? And the answer is yes, that's true, but the Torah has Rachmanus on Mamonish and Nechbal. The fact is that the Nechbal, the guy who was injured, suffered a loss from it. He suffered a loss of work, he suffered sar, etc. So therefore, it's more of a favor to him rather than a Rachmanus. It's more of a favor to him as a Rachmanus on him, that he lost something rather than the guy who hit him is benefiting. The fact that it's the guy who hit him is benefiting is kind of a side effect, basically. Anyway. Okay, Maskevur of Yaakov in the house of Kod. Hanichel Rabbanon. Okay, this explanation of Rabbi Elazar works out very well according to the Rabbanon. The Amri Nefesh Mamish. They explain, again, let's review, let's go back to that case of the two people who are fighting and they hit a pregnant woman. We said over there, we said there's a difference between whether there's Asin or whether there's no Asin. And the Pasuk says, if there's Asin, then Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. Now, what does Nefesh Tachas Nefesh mean? Before we were discussing about, in that itself was a Machlokas in Sanhedrin, what that means. Does nefesh tachas nefesh mean that he actually killed him, or does it mean that he paid money? So, Hanich l'Rabbanon d'Ami Nefesh Mamish. This explanation of Elazar's works out very well according to Rabbanon, that it means literally, since he intended to kill the other guy, and instead he killed this pregnant woman, therefore you execute him, because Niskaven Lara Gazer V'Hara Gazer, then you execute him. El Rebbe Dama Momen Ma'iklamem. What are you going to do according to Rebbe, who says that Nefesh Tachas Nefesh there means the same as Ayin Tachas Ayin? Rebbe holds that no, if you're intending to kill one person and you kill somebody else, you don't get misafasin. You just pay the value of the person who was killed. In this case, that's what it means, nefesh takas nefesh. It means that if he only caused her to miscarry, he's paying only the value of the babies, effectively the difference between how much she's worth as a slave, pregnant and not pregnant, whereas if she was killed, you pay her whole value. So then, in that case, then there's no missa involved. There's no missa. There's no malchus involved over here. So how does Rebbe Elazar's limud work?
We should have many examples of the word nefesh being used for not anything else than.
We actually do in Parshas Emor. Umaka nefesh behemah yishalmena nefesh tachas nefesh. Obviously, there it doesn't mean that if you kill somebody else's animal, you get killed. Obviously, it means you're paying money for the animal, same as ayin tachas ayin. So that's the argument over here. Ella, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, and how could Mishmei Derava Mehacha? No. Okay. According to that opinion, according to Rebbe, we can't use that pasuk of Rebbe Elazar. We have to use a different pasuk that talks about somebody who hits somebody else. Pasuk says, the pasuk describes, and also in Parshas Hashbatim, that if a person injures somebody else, what's the lashon over there? V'chi Yaket
Be'Evin,
the guy doesn't get killed, but he's sick. Pasuk continues, if the one who was injured gets up, he's halach bachot, and he walks outside, al mishante, with his full strength, literally, al mishante sounds like it means on his walking stick, Rashi says on the pasuk over there, and also over here on the Gemara, that it means with his full strength, v'nikah hamake, then the one who hit him is free from guilt, meaning that you don't execute him. No, Eved is a psukim after that. This is talking about a regular person. So, what does the pasuk need to tell us? That if the other guy got up and is walking around, then they, you know, kill the guy. Why would you even think? The guy who you hit is walking around normally. Why would you think that you should execute the person who hit him? I said, no, we learn from the pasuk actually that what you do is you put the guy who hit him in jail. If the one who he hit ends up dying, then you execute him because then the hitting caused him to die. The Eloi miss, and if he didn't die, then the pasuk continues. Shivkiyus and v'nachirapi. Then he has to pay for his lost time from work and his doctor bills, as well as the other things. Now, thus far the pasuk and the limud. Now, again, you have to ask. Hey chidami, idloi asrube. If they didn't give the guy hasra, am I mikdal? Then how is it possible they would kill him? How is the pasuk implying that you put him in jail and put him on death row and see whether he might have to be executed? If there was no hasra, then there's no possibility of that. Obviously, they must have given him asra. Again, like the same assumption as before, that if he's musra for a harsher thing, death, then automatically it includes that he accepted hasra for a davar akal, malchus. And yet the Torah is saying that instead of giving him malchus, since the guy didn't die, instead of giving him malchus, he just pays the sheves and the ripui and everything else. Therefore, it's another proof that you pay rather than getting malchus. Again, maskif l'Ravashi. So again, Ravashi has the same objection on this explanation as on the previous one. First of all, who says that hasra for the harsher thing automatically includes the lighter thing? Dumalai havi, maybe not. V'imkim t'olema havi, and even if you say that it does include it. Mimayd misa chamur, dumal malkus chamur. Again, who says misa is harsher? Maybe malkus, the person thinks of as harsher. V'amar rabba, mullin agdur l'chanan mishal v'azaya plakul l'tzalma. And the same answer as before. Amr of Sama Breder of Ashi the Rav Ashi, Amr of Sama Breder of Ashi the Rav Ashi. V'leishani loch ben akash yesh lekitzva lakash ein lekitzva. Isn't it obvious that there should be a difference between blows that have a limit, namely malchus and beis din, and blows that have no limit, like what Hanani Mishael and Azariah might have gotten? So therefore, yes, as long as you accept that musri l'davar chomer includes musri l'davar akal, then yes, automatically malchus is going to be a davar akal. However, on the second explanation, maskefer of Mari. Who says, you saying that the word v'nikah hamakeh implies that he's completely free, that he's free from misa, and you said before, v'nikah hamakeh means that if the guy is getting up and walking around, the pasuk is telling us v'nikah hamakeh that he's free from the death penalty. And we said, isn't that obvious? And the chiddush is that you put him in jail, etc. Who says, b'chlal, the word v'nikah means miktala, that he means talking about that he's free from the death penalty. Dilma b'shogeg, and therefore that we'd have to be talking about b'mezid. Dilma b'shogeg, maybe we're actually talking about a case of shogeg, where there was no hasra, and why are they putting him in jail? Not on death row because he might be executed, but because they have to figure out whether he's going to have to go in golos. V'nikomi golos. Maybe what the pasuk is implying is that you put the guy in jail, waiting to see if the victim dies, then we consider it was b'shogeg, and therefore we send him off to the Arei Mikvah. If not, if he recovers, then the pasuk is saying v'nikah, that if all he pays is the doctor's bills. So again, you have no concept of hasra, but there's no proof over here, because there's no hasra, we're considering it shogeg. Okay, kasha. We leave it as a kasha. And as usual, the rule is that a kasha is there's some kind of possible answer.
If you don't have to pay.
No, the point is, if the guy ends up dying, then there's nothing to pay. Then he goes into golos. But if the guy recovers, then he would have to pay. Yeah. Which also they ask the question: how is it possible to think of it as shogeg over here? Are we talking about chiyunato and hashem? Two people are fighting. What kind of shogeg are we talking about over here? And the answer is that you could be talking about. And v'chiyuruchon anoshim actually was the pasuk. You could be talking about that again. You're talking about an innocent bystander. V'chiyuruchon anoshim. You have Reuven and Shimon are fighting. V'hik ishes re'eyu, and Reuven accidentally hits Levi, who he never was intending to hit in the first place, and therefore that might be considered a shogeg. Yeah.